Verse 1, Hebrews chapter number 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them they're speaking of, the Israelites in the wilderness. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entereth into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. As I was preparing to look at not these 11 verses, probably the first four or five for tonight, I thought that what I might need to do is stop and deal a little more extensively into what this rest that the writer of Hebrews continually is talking about, what that rest actually is. Now, I understand as your pastor, there is a certain amount of trust that you put in me to teach and to preach to you the truth. If you didn't trust me, you need to get rid of me. Say amen. But I understand that, you know, as your pastor, we've been together Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for weeks and months and years. You have a certain amount of trust. And I assure you that I work very diligently and very hard not to disappoint your trust in me to that end. I do want to preach and teach to you truth. However, I should and you should require of me to prove scripturally whatever conclusions that I have arrived at. Truth is not truth unless it is scripturally supported. So I should do that. Whatever conclusion I come to, it should be scriptural, and you should require that of me as well as yourselves. So whatever we believe, it should be governed by the Word of God and not by our own ideas or our own opinions. I have opinions. I have ideas. I'm sure you have opinions. and ideas. But the only opinion and the only idea that really matters is the opinion and idea of the Word of God. So, I want to share truth with you and then make sure that you understand that what I am sharing is rooted in the Word of God. Amen? It's not just Pastor Mike's thoughts. I want you to make sure these are God's thoughts and I'm just sort of communicating them to you. So to begin with tonight, I want to talk about this rest. And so we won't dive into this text expositionally tonight, but I'll use it to sort of point out some things that I hope will help us to understand what exactly this rest is that the writer of Hebrews is referring to. And so the passage that we read is pretty challenging in nature, and it's going to require us to slow down a bit and go through that a little bit slower. But tonight we would just want to talk about rest. So what is the rest? It's not that you got some of God and you're looking to get the rest. It's not that. There are several thoughts about what this rest actually is. But again, we want to make sure that whatever we come to as an understanding of what this rest is, it is an understanding that comes to us by the clear mandate of Scripture. So I want us to work through several truths. There are seven of them. It doesn't matter if we have 3 or 7 or 30, we're going to be done by 8. Say amen. But I hope that you'll sort of take some notes and so that you'll be better able to biblically come to the conclusion of what exactly this rest is. Is the rest here speaking of the rest that God had in creation? Is the rest here speaking of the Sabbath day? Is the rest here speaking of the promised land? Is the rest here speaking of Christ? Is it speaking of heaven? Is it speaking of salvation? Is it speaking of a current enjoyment, or is it speaking of a future enjoyment? And to all those questions, I would say yes. I got no amens on that, so seems like I'll have to try to prove that to you. Let's talk about rest. Number one, let's look at the description of rest. Everywhere that the writer of Hebrews talks about rest, he speaks of His rest. So, whatever this rest is, we are going to have to come to the agreement that whatever this rest is, it's God's rest. It's His. It's a pronoun, a possessive pronoun, indicating that this rest is possessed by God. It's not our rest. It's not our rest. It's God's rest. It's His rest. It's always referred to as His rest. It belongs to God. And so, it is either His possession because God created it and then entered into it and enjoys it and invites us to enjoy it with Him, or it's God's possession because it is what He is. It is His nature. It is His very essence. And if we understand it to be the latter, that it is Christ, that it is God, it is in Christ, it is nature, it is essence, then what God is doing is inviting us to share in this rest as we receive Him and have a relationship with Him. So I don't think that it's what He created and then He enters in and He enjoys and invites us to enter into it as well. I think the rest of God here is Himself. It is what God is. And we are invited to share and join with Him in Himself. It is like, let me give you an illustration. The Bible says that we share eternal life with Christ, right? Now, eternal life, how many will agree God has eternal life? God is eternal, right? How many agree that Christ is life? Yeah? Okay. So, I don't think there that eternal life is something that God created and entered into Himself and then gives it away to those who exercise faith. I don't think God creates eternal life and then enters in and becomes eternal. I think God is eternal life. Does that make sense? God is the life, therefore, to have eternal life is to have God. Does that make sense? So this rest is actually found in God and in having Him. God has given Himself to us, has given His life to us, and has given rest to us in and through Him. So to describe it, it's not our rest, it's His rest. And His rest is always found in Him. So that if you don't have Him, you don't have rest. And you can't have rest, separate entity, apart from Him. Rest is in Him. You have to have Him. Amen? Secondly, let me say some things and let us think about the duration of rest. So let me move forward here a little bit. Let me find it. He spake of a certain place, the seventh day. So, how many days of creation were there? Seven. How many days of creating work were there? Six. 6 days of creation. And each one of those 6 days, if you'll go back and look in Genesis, each one of those 6 days all start with a morning and end with an evening. Or we could say, the creative works of the first 6 days were all confined to a day. That's why you can say, well, God created man on the sixth day. Amen. Those creative works confined to a day. Now, we're not going to argue tonight whether that was a literal 24-hour day or whatever. That's not what we're talking about here tonight. But when you come to the seventh day, which was not a creative day, right? It was a day of rest for God. Not that He was tired. But the seventh day, the day of rest for God, does not begin with a morning or end with an evening. So it seems as if here that the seventh day doesn't have the same boundaries of morning and evening that the creative days had. So the rest of the seventh day was not a part of the creative process. So it didn't start there. Now, what did God create on the seventh day? Nothing. He didn't create anything on the seventh day. And if it wasn't created by God, where did it come from? And given what we have determined in the first point, we would say that it is the very nature of God Himself. Therefore, this rest has always existed. Amen. If it wasn't created, and we have it now, then what conclusion can we come to? It's always existed. And if it's always existed, then it is in the very nature and person of God. Am I making my argument tonight? It existed prior to creation. It existed prior to the promised land. And it was something that God enjoyed. And is something that still exists. Therefore, this rest, it's a continuous offer of Himself to us. You see, it's not God is offering to us salvation. God is offering to us Himself, who is salvation. Amen? I think sometimes in Baptist churches, we sort of get those things separate, that you can have salvation, but not have God. You can have salvation, but you don't have to have Christ. I'm here to tell you, salvation's in God, in Christ. And we need to stop saying, people, do you want to get saved? We need to say, do you want God? Because salvation's in God. If you don't want God as Savior and Lord, you can't have peace, and you can't have rest, and you can't have salvation. So this rest, we know from looking at Hebrews here, still existed for those Israelites when they got to the edge of the promised land. Say amen. He says, enter into the land of rest. And we'll get to this in a minute, but I just want to mention it here. He says here in verse number 6, therefore it remaineth, speaking to those Hebrews, it remaineth that some must what? Still enter into what? Rest. So it existed then. Say amen. So I'm saying it existed eternity past because it's in God. Number 3, the defining of rest. Let me find that passage. This is important. This is an interesting. If Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? Why did He speak of another day? Right? You with me on that? There therefore remaineth a rest for the people of God. All right. Now what does rest mean? Rest means to cease from all activity. To stop all labor. The writer of Hebrews says this, for he that entered into rest, he also hath what? Ceased from his own what? Works. That's rest. And then we're given the qualifier, as God did from His. Now I've already asked you, what did God do on the seventh day? And you've already told me He did nothing. So in this rest, whatever it may be that we decide it is a total ceasing from activity, a stopping of all labor. So if we talk about this rest in terms of salvation, it would certainly mean a stopping of trying, a ceasing of trying, a stopping of striving, a getting off the treadmill of human achievement, of human righteousness and human merit, and then in replacing that, trusting and resting in the work and the accomplishment and merit of Christ. That's what it would mean, right? If I'm resting in Christ for my salvation, would mean that I have ceased from all labor. I have stopped trying. I am not depending on my righteousness or my merits or my goodness. I'm depending on that of another. Or we could say, to have peace with God is a resting from fear of judgment and eternal damnation. Or we could say, being content in God is a resting in His provision and His wisdom for our life. Again, it's not me doing. It's me stopping doing, me quitting doing, and simply trusting in someone else. We could say life and death. If we're resting in God for life and death, what does that mean? I rest in what He does. He's in charge of life and death. And so, really, rest is a settled reality, isn't it? It's something that has been settled, something that has been done, that we simply enjoy. We rest in His righteousness. We rest in His goodness. We rest in His love and provision. It is literally communion with Him, because rest is the very nature of God Himself. And rest has always existed because God has always what? Existed. So, rest is of God. It's His rest. It is a rest that is in Christ that has no beginning. It always has been, and it is a ceasing or a stopping from all activity or labor. Now, let's talk about the development of rest, because I think this is a key thing for us to understand. There was a rest of God in the Garden of Eden, correct? Right? God created all things in 6 days. On the seventh day, He rested. Say amen. And so, when God came down and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, what was that? That was rest. Say amen. It was Adam being able to share and Adam being invited to share with God. Say amen. It wasn't that God came down and sat on a chair and said, "Now, I want you to do this, do this, do this." No, Adam, I just want you to walk with me and talk with me. Say amen. I want you to enjoy me. That's what that was. Enjoy me. And so there's rest in creation. And then this rest of creative, this rest of the garden is pictured for us in what? In the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day was a pattern, right? The pattern was what? Work 6 days, rest one. Work 6 days, rest one. And so the Sabbath is not the rest, neither was the garden the rest, but a picture of rest. And so on the Sabbath day, right, the Jews were to stop all work, all activity, and simply what? Enjoy God. it was a picture of something greater, a greater reality. It's the rest is bigger than a day of the week. All right? So we get to the promised land. The promised land is a picture of rest, right? It's either the rest or a picture of the rest. So here's what happened. The Hebrew people come to the edge of the promised land, and God says, here it is, here's the land. It's flowing with milk and honey, right? Fruit. And he says, go in, because what you're going to do is you're going to go in, you're going to be able to enjoy fruit that you haven't planted and enjoy things you haven't cultivated, and you'll be able to live in houses and in cities you haven't built, right? What he said. He didn't say go in and do this, do that. He said go in and enjoy what somebody else has already done. You with me? All they had to do was step in by faith and enjoy what somebody else had already done. They've already got the houses built, the furniture in, power's turned on. Not really. But just step in and enjoy the fruits of somebody else's labor. You with me? They just move in. God's promised to protect them. God's promised to provide for them. And that's a picture of a greater reality of salvation in Christ. Salvation is not something we do. Salvation is something we just move into, step into by faith. And so by faith in Christ, we have stepped into what somebody else has provided for us. We step into what Christ has provided for us. Do we ourselves provide our own merits or our own righteousness or our own good deeds for salvation? No! We step into the merit and the righteousness and the good deeds provided for us in Christ. You with me? You ought to get excited. That ought to make somebody get up and say, hey, amen. We step into this. So the righteousness we have not built, the righteousness we have not built, and the peace we have not planted, we enjoy and is provided to us by Christ. Of course, we also know that for the Jew, the kingdom of God was a picture of rest, right? The Jews anticipated the Messiah to come, a kingdom to be established, and rest be provided for them by God, where their enemies would be defeated and they would be provided a place of perfect peace. Of course, the ultimate reality of this rest is heaven itself, right? What did Jesus say when he left this earth? He says, I go to prepare, say amen. I have read that verse for years and not gotten it. I go to prepare a place for you. He doesn't say, I'm going to wait till you get up here and now you prepare the place yourself. No, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. When we enter into heaven, we will not have done one thing to get there. And we will enter into a place where everything is provided for us. So, this rest is something that we enjoy now in part, but will fully enjoy in the future. Number five, the disappointment of rest. How am I doing? Not good. I'll hurry. Questions. Adam enjoyed rest with God in the garden, yes? Did he enjoy rest with God to the fullest? You don't know how to answer that, do you? The answer is no. Because he lost it. He lost it. So rest doesn't begin in the garden and stay in the garden because Adam lost it. How did he lose it? Through unbelief, through sin, through unbelief. And so when he sinned, the rest of God ceased. Say amen. How about the Sabbath? The Sabbath day. Surely that is the rest that is being spoken of here. Seventh-day Adventists think it is. So is there rest on the Sabbath if it is observed correctly? Yes. Is it the enjoyment of full rest? The answer is no. Why? Because tomorrow, you got to go back to work. Somebody help me. The rest comes to an end. Tomorrow, you go back to work, you work 6 days, then you have another rest, and then it keeps repeating, right? It never ends. So the Sabbath, although was a rest, a picture of ultimate rest, it's not the full experience of rest. How about the Promised Land? Go in and dwell houses that you haven't built, enjoy food that you haven't planted. Was there rest there? There was. Was there lasting rest? What happened? They disobeyed God. And God punished them. And God raised up other nations who were allowed to come in and destroy their cities and take them into captivity. Say amen. So, all of those rests have some element of disappointment in them, or at least rest was not enjoyed to the fullest. But what was lost in Adam? What was lost in the garden? What was lost on the Sabbath? What was lost in the Promised Land has been regained for us in Christ. It is in Christ that we have peace with God and provision for our souls that no man can take away from us. If we are in Christ, no one can pluck us out of His hand. We enter into this rest by faith in Christ. And one day, we will see Him face to face and we will enter by His grace into the fullness of this rest. Number six, the demand of rest. So I showed you, he says here, this rest is still available for us today. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into this rest, but it demands faith and repentance and belief. If you will not believe, you will not have rest. If you will not turn from your sins and trust in Christ, you will not enter into His rest. He has sworn that you will not enter into His rest. And when it's all said and done, heaven is a place of rest and hell is a place of restlessness. Think about it a minute. Let's piece it all together. Why will heaven be a place of rest? Pardon? It's all done for us. What else? Why is heaven a place of rest? Think about what we've talked about here about what rest is. Because God's there. And He is rest. You with me? Heaven is a place where we will be in perfect communion and fellowship with Christ and God. Or we could say in perfect rest because we will fully have Him to enjoy forever. But the unbeliever will not have Him in eternity. And therefore, without Him, there can be no rest without Him. The rest is His, and He is the rest. And people will not enter into this rest because they will not believe in Christ. It will not be because provision hasn't been made. It will not be because the offer was not made available. It will not be because there was no opportunity for them. It will be because they would not believe. They have no one else to blame. The gospel, the true gospel, if it is preached and taught, does not say, do this and receive this. It says, receive this what you have not done and enjoy it. Enjoy what God has done for you in Christ. That's the gospel. Number seven, the danger of rest. If you reject Christ, you will miss it. You'll miss it. Go back to verse 1. Let us therefore what? Fear. Let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. In other words, if you Hebrews go back to Judaism, you'll miss rest. Because there's no rest in religion. The rest is in Christ. Without Christ, you'll fall short of this rest. And every one of us should fear tonight that we would miss that. There should be something in all of our hearts tonight that we fear that we would miss this rest. And we should fear for others that they would miss this rest. The danger is that rest is available, right? Rest is available, and we would come short of it. Can we agree tonight that if we miss heaven by an inch, we might as well miss it by a mile? Missing it is missing it. We must believe the gospel. We must step into what Christ has done for us. We must enjoy Him and His provision. We must persevere in Him and await the full rest of glory that is still yet to come for His people. Amen? Hope that helps us understand what rest is. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You for the attention of Your people. Pray that You would give us a clear understanding of what this rest is. We may make application of this text, and it may give us confidence and cause us to examine our own hearts, to fear that rest is available and we would miss it. Fear that rest is available and our loved ones would miss it. And tell them and preach to ourselves, it is Christ and Christ alone in which we have our rest. Help us to simply, even as saved people, help us to simply enter in to houses we haven't built. And own land that we haven't purchased. And eat food we haven't planted. Because Christ has done the entirety of the work for us. Thank You. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.